Well, first of all, I'm really happy to see you. I'm sorry I'm late, but on Sunday mornings they have a BIPOC sit at Spirit Rock, and we all the BIPOC teachers take turns covering that sit. And it goes from 9 to 10:30. So it's perfect for me on Sunday mornings because I can go there and do my time and still get here in time to teach. So it works out beautifully, I think. So we're talking about relationships this month. And I'm going to do a little bit of an overview about relationships. But I wanted to start with a very cute video. It is subtitles, so you'll need to look down to see, to kind of read. It's only like a minute and 60 seconds, so it's not a really long video, but it's very cute. Just make sure I have it here. Okay. I think I can share the screen. I'm going to share the screen. Okay. All right.
Narinig ang unang iyak mo. Pero ang saya ko nung una kang umiti. Di ko man narinig ang unang salita mo. Alam kong feeling safe ka sa hapros ko. Kaya lumalaki kang tama. Di ko man kayang magsalita. Nasasabi ko pa rin mahal kita. Sa paraang tayo lang ang nakakaalam.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
It's what I want to start us out with, human. I just thought if we're going to talk about relationships, you know, we're going to get into some of the difficulties with it and the tension around it. There's a lot around relationships in practice because we are related beings. And I thought that video really expresses who we are. We are related beings. So our attachment to each other is ingrained in us. When I first saw that video, I don't know if you guys noticed that. I did not understand why she was like in a panic running towards this kid just because the kid was crying. And I was just like, okay. You know, it's just, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But you could see if you don't hear and you turned around and noticed that it could be a much different experience for you. So when I begin to realize, and then by the time I got to the end and I realized that she was deaf and that she was saying it as a shortcoming, I begin to realize that, oh, I see, I understand. So I wanted to use it because I wanted to talk from that framework, that there's a way that we all have some level, degree of shortcomings. And these shortcomings are coming together. And then in the relationship that we ultimately have, that's where our difficulties lie. But if we see it, the realization of the kid at the end, when the baby was like touching her, because that's what he's used to her doing, or he or she is used to mama doing that to me, and he does the same thing, or they do the same thing, that this is a, there's a bond that we have as being human beings that I want to talk a little bit about, and how it relates to the Dhamma. So, oftentimes, many of us have heard about the stress responses of fight or flight. And we, and some, and people even learn about freeze. So the stress response, that reactivity that happens, is that we either fight our way through, we run from it, or we just freeze and don't do anything. All of us have a stress response. All of us have a primary stress response, and all of us have, we all use all the other three, all three of them. So this stress response is usually what we talk about all the time, dealing with our stress response. But the thing that I learned in this mindfulness training for combat soldiers is not the stress response, but why we have that stress response. And beginning to understand why we have the stress response is what I think we're going to talk about this month in relationship. Unlike a lot of other animals, we have a need to be liked. We have a need to be included. So there's a social, what is it called? A social, I can't remember. It's a social conditioning, which means that we have to be liked. We have to be included. And our stress response is related to whether or not we think we're going to be liked or included. And the stress response becomes how we respond to the stress of the fear that we're not going to be liked or we're not going to be included. So when we live with our families, our work, all of it is tied to this sense of feeling like we are included and we are, we're part, we belong. The thing that I think Dhamma points to more than anything else is to learn to get that sense of belonging and inclusion from within ourselves versus trying to get it from outside of ourselves. When we look to outside of ourselves to feel that inclusion, then we're subject to the reactions or the behaviors of other beings around us to give us a sense of belonging and inclusion. But when we cultivate a felt sense experience of that from our internal understanding, meaning that I'd say the deeper I've come into the Dhamma, the more I feel included all the time. I'm not necessarily included all the time. In fact, I think sometimes people want to exclude me, but nonetheless, I feel included always. I feel as though I'm a part of things always. And I think that feeling comes from practice and the inner sense of wholeness that's beginning, that has happened over the years of practice. I'm not whole because I'm connected to someone else. I'm already whole and I'm connected to someone else. So the reason why I think that's important as a framing for the whole month is because when we start talking about the difficulties and challenges of being in relationship, there is a tendency to think that if I fix the other person, then I'll fix, if I fix the relationship, then I will feel wholer, right? If we can get everything fixed, I will feel more and more and more whole. But wholeness comes from an internal experience. It's not an external experience. So I remember one time I gave a spent a month talking about Sangha. And I wanted to think, how can I talk about Sangha without it just being a talk on my opinion about Sangha? And I talked to two people that really helped me understand what I was looking at. One was Greg Kramer, because he does the Insight Dialogue, which is a total relationship practice. And the other person was Venerable Panawati. And Venerable Panawati said that you can think of Sangha as practice plus love. So there's each one of us are practicing. But when we practice together, if we don't have metta to hold us together, then our practice, we can't cultivate a stronger practice. And I have been using that understanding in my relationships with everyone. I think of every being that I'm in relationship with as both my own individual practice, plus it's surrounded by metta. So the two of us are together in whatever form because of that connection. The second thing that the thing that Greg taught me, and this is what I want to spend the rest of the time talking about, is the nature of relational practice. So in Insight Dialogue, it's held in what's called the three pillars. It's held in this understanding that you have the words of another, so there's a relationship. There is the Dhamma, and there is the meditative practices, and all of that together is what creates a stronger wisdom. When the teaching team here got together, there was a lot of talk about sort of talking about the challenges of being in relationship. Like we're in relationship, and what makes for a healthy relationship? What is it that we can do when relationships are probably the main source of our suffering? So how is it that we can have the relationship themselves be the source of our suffering and yet have it also be a doorway to our freedom? And we're talking about all kinds of relationships. So we're just talking about it in general. We're going to talk about romantic relationships, or you can talk about family relationships, work relationships, neighbors. It could be sexual, platonic. It doesn't matter. Some relationships we have stimulate wholesome connection, like when we're in Sangha like this. And some relationships are not wholesome, and they stimulate a lot of aversion and anger. So If you think about politics, or if you think about maybe you have a very contentious neighbor or something like this, all of this practice, in my view, all of this stuff that surrounds the relationship is to be practiced with. That is what I think the Buddha was pointing to in practice. It's all practicing of our relationships. I think that's why when Ananda, we all know this saying that Ananda went to the Buddha and said, the Sangha is half of the holy life. We know that. But if the Buddha is responding to him saying, no, it's the whole of the holy life, it's the whole thing, then what I think the Buddha is pointing to is you don't have a practice outside of relationship with. There is no practice other than the relationship you're having with. And that relationship with other beings is so different than our relationship with inanimate objects. Because our relationship with inanimate objects don't push back. But our relationship with other beings, they are alive also, and they push back. And so there's a quality to the our practice that can increase if our understanding around practice is more around learning how to be with as opposed to learning how to control this or control that or make this like this or make this like that. Can you see the difference here? Some examples. My son and I, we live together just like many of you have partners, you live together. We have little quirks, little things. We get along pretty good, but we have little things. Like there are things the way he wants to live in his space, like his room, all hell breaking loose. My space? No, we don't like that. But when you think about bathrooms and kitchens, we're kind of like, we only have one bathroom, so we're like combined in our understanding. Then it starts getting contentious. I can kind of leave him in his space if I close the door. But when we start coming together, there is this kind of me saying, it's got to be like this. Cause I'm right, and I will cheat. I will use the mama role. I'm the mama, so I get to say how it's my house. I get to say how it's gonna be, and he has his way. Like I'm sick, I have cancer. I can't do things the same way. So he gets to say his. If it's all about who gets their way, it may or may not work. Because sometimes I can get my way and sometimes I can't. But if this contention is held in metta, in a level of kindness towards each other, regardless of whether we're arguing or not, there is a degree of kindness that we hold even our arguments in. Then it becomes doable, whatever happens. Then practice becomes more of a capacity building experience and less of a who wins and who doesn't. That's what I want us to talk about today. If we're going to look at relationships, if we're going to begin to consider what makes for a healthy relationship, and we think about how much of our lives we suffer because of our relationships, then how much of our relationships do we actually treat as practice? And how much of it do we treat it as just, the interactions with people? How much of your interactions with your family do you think of it as practice, or do you think of it as, just Who's going to do the dishes? Who's cooking tonight? Who's going to clean the bathroom and who doesn't? How much of that? That's what I want us to begin to think about. Because as we go into this practice deeper and deeper into the month, what we're going to begin to see is the source of all of our practice edges show up in relationship. It's weird because all of our practice edges show up in death and loss. All of our practice relationships, all of our practice edges show up in every single topic that we picked for each month. And it's so different with relationships. So I think I'm going to stop here and assign us to groups. And what I'd like you to think about when you're in your, I'm going to give people an opportunity to leave as I start making these groups, but what I want you to think about in your groups is just take a contentious relationship you have, a relationship you have that is a lot of suffering, it's a lot of difficulty. Thanks, Deanna. And then think of a relationship that you have that's really, really good, that the two of you, it really works. Contentious, really, really works, you know? And for those of you that are already with your partners and you're in the same room, it cannot involve your partner. I'm telling you that right now. So just think of a relationship other than the person you're sitting next to, somebody else. I'm sure you've got some other contentious relationship or some other relationship that works good. And then see if you can, while I'm setting the rooms up, take a moment to think about this. What is it that stands out against the two different relationships? What is it that stands out the most to you in the relationship that's contentious? And what stands out in the relationship that is easy, you know, more peaceful? What stands out to you? And then we'll begin to share this, and I think you're going to begin to notice some things in the sharing. All righty, this is it. This one group of two, and there's a, everybody else is a group of three. All right? So I'll give you 15 minutes, and I'll call you back, and we'll see what we came up with. Let's see if anybody wants to share anything about what you noticed about relationships that are peaceful and relationships that are contentious. Yeah, it's either Bruce or Shawnee.
It's Sean. Hi. Well, the two people that came to my mind, the difference was that with the pleasant, nice, easygoing relationship, we're on like kind of equal footing. And there's no hierarchy involved in the relationship. And it was all about gardening. So it was like we're the same subject matter. And then with the other relationship that's contentious, and Nudgy is with this person who has made himself in charge of the landscaping of our entire property. And so there's no, it's his way or the highway, and there's no opportunity for conversation and, or, you know, feedback or anything. And so that's what makes it contentious. And I know that that's a theme in my life with people who are in that power position over me, more contentious for me. Yeah.
I'm going to say something too.
Okay, good.
The non-contentious person is a person I can count on to be honest and to be just normal. And the contentious person is insane. And I don't know, and is dishonest, and I never know what I'm going to get from one moment to the next.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no safety with the contentious person.
So anybody else? I want to take a few of them, and then, go ahead, Rosie. Rosie, you're muted still.
I'm saying this assignment brought up my deep appreciation for the Dharma. I don't have contentious. I couldn't come up with anybody.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I really give credit to the Dharma. I mean, things have changed. It wasn't always like this.
Yes.
But it's so I'm grateful.
All right, good, Rosie. Thank you. Kristen?
Yeah, I was noticing that. I was noticing that the biggest difference between the two are one I respect as an individual, and the other one is my child, and I want her to be like me.
Because
I haven't done my duty as a parent, so I'm judging myself, not just her. So I think I'm going to work on that. I have 2 weeks before she comes back.
Yeah, great. Anybody else want to say anything? Yeah, go ahead, Terry.
We talked a lot about mutual respect, trust, and the desire to have both people kind of, I don't know what you would call it, but the needs of both people being kind of met, you know, and listened to.
Yep.
That's all.
Yeah, go ahead, Cheryl.
I think one of the things, you know, I talked about was like my brother. I think that there's a change in the change that I've noticed, especially with the visual with my sister, that that while there might be contention there, to hold it in metta and to hold it in a place of non-harm was amazing, because it was almost like. It was almost like I was a different person during this last visit. And then, you know, and then there's the conditioning around relationships and around what you expect from relationships and how you expect people to fuck up. Mm-hmm. And so that's really there. And that's what I notice in my practice too. And I just, you know, I keep going.
Great. Well, I'm going to tell you what I hear. See how I want you to begin. So I'm going to share something. It's for you to contemplate and consider over the course of the month of talking about it. And Rosie actually is my balancer, because what Rosie said is what I want to point to. Oftentimes our contention with relationships are based on how much selfing we are doing. That the suffering doesn't come from the relationship itself, but other than maybe that the relationship creates a selfing in me. And I start feeling like I gotta box things in. So some of the things you guys said is that when there's no contention, there's a level of respect and this mutual respect between people, and there's a kind of like a common goal, and people are working towards the same intention. There's a level of trust and safety that exists there, and there's a, you know, a degree of connection. It sounded like the more you talked about the things that the relationships you are connected to, is actually you can lose yourself in those relationships and just be however you are without this trying to establish who I am. And when we get in contentious relationships, there's a selfing that has to happen. Somehow I gotta solidify who I am, and it's different from you. And that solidity begins to rub up against each other. And then something Cheryl said, that even if there is this solidity that happens between people, when you hold that in metta, when you put the whole thing and you put it in this quality of metta, so it's held in kindness regardless, then even if there is a selfie, it's less contentious. It's smoother. It's easier. This is what I think that Rosie's pointing to about her practice, that it's not so much whether it's contentious or not, it's whether or not I can hold it within this capacity of kindness. And over the course of the month, we can talk about the varying relationships, but contemplate how much kindness do you hold these relationships that are different. Like Sean, the guy that's taking control of the gardening landscape, you know, there's a selfing in there that I got to be in charge and it's got to be my way. But how much kindness do you hold that relationship? And the more kindness you have access to, the less contentious even his selfing and boxing in kind of attitude can bring, we get less suffering out of it. So even though the first, if you were going to say a goal would be to take the self out of it so that we feel like we're walking with, but even if there is a box of different selves, holding it in kindness is like a layer down, but it still adds a level of ease to the whole relationship there. Do you see what I'm pointing to? That's the way I want you to begin to thinking about all the things that we're going to talk about over the course of the month about relationships and noticing relationship. And all of a sudden, relationships are going to be all about all month. Think about whether how much selfing am I doing here? How much do I need to sure myself up and get my point across and make this about something that's important to me? And how much kindness am I bringing into the moment? And then we can begin to see where our suffering is really lying. It's not so much in the other person as it is in our own, how we're holding that other person. All right? Sean?
So can we do both?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, that would be great, is if you can be able to express, if I can express myself and have the kindness for myself and the other person.
Yes.
Opening both ways where we can, you know.
Yes, that's my point. My point I was saying is in some relationships, we can just let go because there's a mutual respect and there's a level of trust, like Bruce was bringing out, that we can just, we feel safe. We feel it's honest. We feel connected. But then there's some relationships we don't really feel that kind of fluidity. So there is a selfing going on, but we can still be kind and keep it out of the contention. So with that guy, it doesn't seem like he's very open to much of anything other than his own opinion, but we can still hold it in kindness. And that adds an ease, less suffering in the relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look for the good.
Yeah. All right. So, did you want to say something, Terry? I'll let you bring something in. You can get the last word here.
It's quick. Somebody in our group said something that really made sense to me. And I could use your name and just have it be let Tuere be Tuere. And
yeah. That's it. And Tuere might be difficult for you, right? So you're holding Tuere in kindness, even if Tuere is difficult. Even if my temperament does not sync with your temperament, we're going to hold it in kindness.